Welcome to the Swiss Info Podcast, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
This is the podcast for the week of October 25th to November 1st. I'm Dale Bechtel. The controversial subject of immigration was in the headlines again.
People and certain political parties didn't want to know that there are also problems.
But before we get to that, here are a few of the other top stories of the week. Just days after the parliamentary elections, the presidents of the two biggest political parties announced their resignations. Uli Maurer, head of the right-wing Swiss People's Party, is leaving on a high note after his party took a record 29% of the vote, while his counterpart from the center-left Social Democrats, Hans-Jürg Fehr, came under pressure to go following his party's dismal result, falling to 19.5% and dropping 9 seats. Switzerland's biggest bank, UBS, along with other financial institutions, came under fire from NGOs for allegedly helping to finance atrocities in Sudan with oil investments. One organization, the Berne Declaration, accused UBS in particular of underwriting the Shanghai listing of the Chinese oil firm PetroChina. Abdelbaji Jibril is a Sudanese national and heads a Geneva-based NGO.
Indirectly, the government of Sudan used the revenues from this business not for the benefit of the people for development, but for its military machinery.
UBS and Switzerland's number two in the banking sector, Credit Suisse, were also in the headlines for disappointing third-quarter results. UBS took a 726 million franc loss, while the net profit of Credit Suisse declined by 31%. It still managed, however, a plus of 1.3 billion francs. In other business news, the Geneva-based World Economic Forum ranked Switzerland the world's second most competitive economy after the United States. Now to our top story. Immigration was one of the dominant themes in the run-up to October's parliamentary elections. The large gains made by the right-wing Swiss People's Party was partly due to its hard-line stance on foreigners. But Foreign Minister Micheline Calmy-Rey, who represents the center-left Social Democrats, fought back at a conference on migration in Bern. She made an appeal for the better integration of foreigners. Gillian Spinden reports.
Switzerland has received large numbers of asylum seekers over the past couple of decades, the majority of whom do not qualify for refugee status or residence. Asylum and foreigners laws have been progressively tightened since the middle of the 1980s. In her speech, Calmy-Rey said immigration should be seen as something that enriches society rather than just a threat or cost. A senior official at the Foreign Ministry, Thomas Greminger, told Swiss Info that the current public debate over migration had very negative connotations.
Unfortunately, if you listen to the public debate, you realize that their migration is unfortunately still very much a negatively connotated phenomenon. When you talk about migration, you think immediately of criminal foreigners, you think of people abusing our generous asylum system and things like that. And all the positive components of migration, all the things that migration has brought to the development of our economy, for instance, are not really brought into the picture.
Nestle and Swatch were used at the conference as two successful examples of Swiss companies that had been founded by German and Lebanese immigrants respectively. Yet the Justice Ministry, led by the People's Party strongman Christoph Blocher, has now moved to introduce tougher measures against deserters seeking asylum. Edward Gneser, head of the Federal Migration Office within the Justice Ministry.
We have to also to say that there are problems. And I think in the last 10 years in Switzerland, quite often people and certain political parties didn't want to know that there are also problems. And there are problems concerning criminality, concerning young people not being well integrated. So we have to resolve these problems.
The Foreign Minister, Calmy-Rey, had the final word. The toughest asylum laws have no other impact than to make migration flows illegal, she said, adding that Switzerland had to do more to integrate foreigners in order to exploit their full potential for the benefit of the country.
Gillian Spinden reporting. In sport, the world number one tennis player, Switzerland's Roger Federer, won his seventh tournament of the year by beating Finland's Jarkko Nieminen in straight sets. Victory was sweet for Federer, as it came at the Swiss indoors tournament in his hometown of Basel, and because it secured his place at the top of the ATP rankings.
It guarantees that I will be number one at least until the end of the year. That was a big goal of mine, and the fact I could do that here on Central Court was superb.
There were also plenty of stories this past week which didn't necessarily make the headlines. The German national football team will set up their training camp in the southern Italian-speaking Swiss canton of Ticino to prepare for the European Championships next June. Team manager Oliver Bierhoff said the Germans would feel right at home in what he called the German-friendly region. While this comment may seem strange to an outsider, Germans and Swiss Germans have long flocked to the Italian-speaking area. They once set up an avant-garde artist colony, Monte Verita, and many expat Germans now reside there. Also soon to be at home in Switzerland will be rising Formula One star Lewis Hamilton. He says he'll leave Britain and settle in the Alpine nation in order to better protect his privacy. Hamilton will be joining the race to see which glamorous driver can acquire the most luxurious pad in Switzerland. As a longtime resident, Michael Schumacher is already in the pole position, with a lap or two on the recently crowned champion Kimi Räikkönen and last year's number one, Fernando Alonso. Fast, but not fast enough to elude researchers at Neuchâtel University, were 83 young men. They were put in car simulators and asked to take the wheel while listening to either a man or woman's voice or neutral sounds. The study concluded that the test pilots put their foot to the floor when listening to the man, driving twice as fast as they did when they heard the woman speaking. The scientists said this proved for the first time a direct connection between masculinity and speed. Now it's time for Out and About, the segment of the program where we hear from Swiss Info journalists about their travels around the country. Scott Kapper has been on a mushroom hunt in the Jura Mountains. He visited a unique fungi focus center which has just opened near Neuchâtel.
Autumn, leaves are changing colour, turning from green to gold. And up in the Jura Mountains, the mushroom hunters are out in droves, looking for their favourite delicacy. If you travel through the area, you're sure to come across them carrying big baskets and seeking hidden treasures in the undergrowth. But despite their Swiss passion for edible mushrooms, people actually know next to nothing about fungi, except perhaps which ones not to eat. The new mushroom centre in Sarnier, a building that looks a bit, well, like a mushroom, is there to help pick up the slack, according to its director, Jean Keller.
Students aren't usually taught anything about mushrooms at school, or very badly. Generally, people know very little, even though they're in daily contact with fungi. There are parasites that can attack our feet. But there are other aspects, such as yeasts, decomposition of organic substances, and so forth. There are so many situations in which we're dealing with mushrooms, but don't realize it.
The Mycorrhiza Center has been more than 10 years in the making. It suffered delay after delay as different authorities and budget restrictions held up the project. The center still remains incomplete, with costs proving too high for the moment to set up all its attractions. Today, though, the building stands tall, either a monument to mushroom mania or to its promoter's passion for fungi. Unfortunately, it is in a somewhat isolated location, as Sarnia is off the beaten track. Keller reckons, though, that he has an ace up his sleeve to get visitors to come.
The shapes are strange to start with. They don't look like anything else, and the colours are different. There are all these small elements that mean mushrooms are mysterious in their own way. This aspect was ignored for a long time, and mushrooms were rarely represented in classical art. But with the arrival of graphic novels, people are now attracted to the hallucinogenic, or rather fairy tale, side of mushrooms.
So will fascination pay off? The question remains a few days after Mycorrhiza opened up. Keller is hoping that 20,000 visitors will eventually make the trek up the mountain.
Thanks, Scott. More details on the Mushroom Center and some of the other stories you've just heard can be found on our website, www.swissinfo.ch. And that's also where you can give us your opinion on our audio service. Thanks for listening to the Swiss Info Podcast. I'm Dale Bechtel.